Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. Normally on Tuesdays, we release 9-panel grid episodes, but as you may or may not be aware, we are changing the format a little bit here. All Comic Source episodes are going to be released through LRM Online starting next Monday, and we're actually going to be just producing the Comic Source Podcast episodes going forward. We are going to continue to call our episodes on Tuesdays the 9-panel grid, and we're going to keep some of the same themes. So we're still going to do a Future Picks episode once a week. We're still going to do spotlights, and we're still going to try to aim it more toward the beginning comic reader on our Tuesday episodes. But it's just easier now that we've migrated over all the Comic Source content to just have all the podcasts fall over one name. So on to the episode for tonight. I'm actually going to be talking about the top 5 heroes you've never heard of. So this wasn't as easy of a topic as it might have been, say, 10 or 15 years ago, before comic movies and TV shows kind of took pop culture by storm. But I did a little informal polling of people I know and came up with these 5 heroes that I really like, some of my favorite heroes. And for the most part, people didn't really know who they were. Real quick, before I get into my list, I'll just give you an update on the Jeremy Dale Kickstarter. As of today, we're at $21,740. So the Kickstarter has been fully funded. There will be a Jeremy Dale Skyward Omnibus being produced, and we've actually hit the first stretch goal, which was a digital download or digital copy of the omnibus. The next stretch goal is at $23,000, and that will allow Kelly to do some kind of special enhancement to the cover, either spot gloss or some foil stamping of some sort rather than just the plain matte finish that was originally planned on. And then the $26,000 stretch goal will most likely be Kelly printing single issues of the issue 10. So look forward to that. If you want more information, there's a link in the show notes to go and check out the Kickstarter. There are 9 days left. All right, so on to my list, top 5 heroes you've never heard of. Starting with my number 5, it's Moon Knight. First appeared in Werewolf by Night number 32 in 1975. Alter ego Mark Spector. And here's a character that's really been fleshed out over the years. And I kind of feel like, based on which writer is writing him, they've kind of played fast and loose with his history. So it's hard at this point to really know what his true past is. But there are some things that have pretty much stayed the same all the time. So Mark Spector was a Marine. He then worked for the CIA. He became a mercenary, a soldier for hire, and he was working for this kind of shady dealer of antiquities, crime lord kind of guy. And this guy, his last name was Bushman, was strong-arming an archaeologist and his daughter into helping him raid some Egyptian tombs. And Mark Spector was working for this guy, and based on his past and his attraction to the archaeologist's daughter, he decided to go against Bushman's wishes and stood up for the archaeologist and his daughter. And Bushman had him killed, basically, or tried to have him killed, and he was his supposedly dead body was laid at the foot of this Egyptian statue of Khonshu, which is the Egyptian god of vengeance. And again, just based on which writer is writing it, he was either possessed by the god of vengeance or resurrected by the god of vengeance or heard voices from the god of vengeance who didn't actually exist. But long story short, this god of vengeance was also the god of the moon for the Egyptians. So Mark Spector was in some way able to survive the attack, whether he was resurrected or just wasn't killed in the first place. And he was kind of Marvel's answer to Batman, is the way a lot of people saw him. He was able to use his ill-gotten gains from working as a soldier of fortune and money that he had from his inherited from his family to create these gadgets. And he had this Moon Knight persona where he had these moon inspired weapons, and he fought crime, but supposedly he wasn't actually superpowered. But then in different iterations over the years with different writers, some of them had gave him strength based on the waxing and waning of the moon and played up the kind of the supernatural aspect of it and gave him superpowers. Some others played up the aspect of these different personalities that Mark Spector supposedly had, where he was almost a multiple personality disorder. He had several personas. He had the Mark Spector persona where he was the Soldier of Fortune and he was Moon Knight. He had another where his name was Jake and he drove a cab, and he used that kind of more street level identity to gather information about criminals. And then he had a Stephen Grant persona where he was a financier on Wall Street and helped build his fortune. And then they've had other iterations where all those aspects of his personality weren't just disguises he took on, but were actually separate personas. And he had, I guess it's not even called multiple personality disorder anymore. It's a dissociative identity disorder. But whatever you label it, the guy was basically wacko, right? He was crazy. And different writers have played up that part of him. And Warren Ellis did a run on it recently and kind of was trying to do something really different with the character. And it seemed to work, but we really didn't get a lot of who Mark Spector himself was. It was more about the Moon Knight persona. And then most recently, Jeff Lemire has been working on the character. So again, I think he's a character that not a lot of people know about. And I think there's a lot of potential there. And I mean, clearly he's a popular enough character that they keep, I mean, he's had like five or six different series over the years, but I think maybe 80 issues or so is as long as any of them have ever lasted. So I don't know. He's just one of those characters that's like right on the brink of being like an A-level character and knowing everybody knowing about him and him being more widely known. And there just always seems to be something holding him back. And at this point, what might be holding him back is there's been so many different takes on the character that nobody seems to be able to get it exactly right or do like a definitive run on the character saying, okay, this is the way it should be done. This is who he actually is. And at this point, I mean, there's been so many different takes, I don't even know that there could be one definitive, because even if somebody comes in and does a great run on the character, somebody else could come right behind him and rewrite it and have that whole previous series just be a figment of crazy Mark Spector's imagination. So anyway, I've always liked the character. I love his costume. It appears to be all white in the comics, but it's actually supposed to be all silver. Which doesn't quite work as well for me. I like the idea of the white, you know, the moon. But anyway, Mark Spector, Moon Knight, number 5 on my list of top 5 heroes you've never heard of. All right, up next, this is one that maybe some of you may have heard of. He did have a cartoon, I think in the late 70s or early 80s, and that's Plastic Man from DC Comics. First appearance actually in Police Comics number 1 from Quality Comics from 1941. First appearance under a DC label is House of Mystery 160 from 1966. So Plastic Man actually was in the Police Comics, Quality Comics for 102 issues, and he even had a title of his own for at least 18 issues over at Quality Comics. Quality eventually folded. DC Comics acquired them. And Plastic Man, as I said, appeared in House of Mystery. He also had his own series in the 60s for a little while. And then he kind of disappeared for a few years before he reappeared in 1985 in a limited series. He was a real favorite of Grant Morrison. Morrison made him a big part of his JLA run. So his alter ego is Patrick Eel O'Brien. And his origin has pretty much been the same all throughout his comic career. He was an orphan who grew up into a life of crime, sort of reluctantly, never really felt like he belonged. and he was kind of a safecracker and part of a burglary gang, and they break into a chemical factory to rob the safe one night. The police show up, and there's a gunfight that ensues. He gets not only shot, but also doused with some chemicals at the warehouse, and the rest of his gang leave him behind, leave him for dead. So he becomes disillusioned. You know, he's, as I said, he never felt like he really fit into the life of crime. And being that these other guys in his gang that he thought had his back just abandoned him, plus the fact that these chemicals he was doused with and the gunshot allowed those chemicals to enter his bloodstream and give him the ability to basically be like rubber, like he can stretch himself and form different shapes and balls and slingshots and like all kinds of crazy stuff. And so he decides to become a crime fighter as Plastic Man. And as I said, there was a Saturday morning cartoon. I think it was called The Adventures of Plastic Man that I remember fondly from when I was a kid. Took a few liberties, introduced a Hawaiian sidekick, a guy of Samoan descent. And then also Plastic Man also had a blonde girlfriend of some sort. I can't remember her name. But he was always a fun character, and most recently he's been appearing in some issues of DC Dark Knight's Metal. We haven't actually seen him show up as a character. He's just been this egg that seems to imply that he's some kind of secret weapon that the heroes are carrying around. They need to take him to a certain place, and he'll be able to do a certain thing and kind of save the day. So it's going to be interesting to see, with the final issue of that series coming out soon, just what role Plastic Man plays in that. And then he is a character in the new Terrifics title that actually comes out this Wednesday from DC. Number one comes out with writing by Jeff Lemire and art by Yvonne Reese. So as I said, he may be someone that's a little more well-known for certain members of the listening audience, just based on that cartoon that he had. Plus, he's been around for a really, really long time. But I think he's one of those heroes where you hear his name, like Plastic Man. Yeah, that sounds familiar, but I don't actually know who he is or what he's about or where he's been for all these years. All right, up next on the list, my number three. Cheated a little bit with this one. It's actually a group of heroes, a superhero team, if you will. And it's the Legion of Superheroes. First appearance, Adventure Comics, number 247 from 1958. And this is basically a group of teenage heroes from the 31st century. As I said, first appeared in Adventure Comics, and they actually, three of them, traveled back in time to visit Superboy in Smallville and surprised him, surprised Superboy by knowing his secret identity. And the way they knew was because they were from the far future, and they actually had come back to recruit Superboy. So the Legion of Superheroes became a very popular team in the 60s. They eventually took over Adventure Comics from Superboy and then had their own title for many, many years. DC's currently not producing a Legion of Superhero comic, and that's to the chagrin of all the Legionnaire fans out there, for there are many. But what's cool about the Legion of Superheroes, and one of the reasons that I started collecting them when I was a kid, was it was a way to kind of get more bang for my buck, I felt like. You know, it was a big group of heroes. It was in the future, so a little bit of superhero comic, a little bit of sci-fi comic, and just getting to see all these heroes with these fantastical powers, it was really great. You know, the first three that originally showed up in Adventure Comics 247 were Lightning Lad, who could kind of throw electrical bolts and had electrical-based powers. We had Saturn Girl, who had telekinesis and telepathy. And then we had Cosmic Boy, who was kind of like Magneto. He could control magnetism. But then as I said, the Legion of Superheroes gained popularity. They were constantly bringing in new heroes and heroes from different worlds. And that was the thing. Like, it was the 31st century, and everything was wide open. Any character you could dream up with any kind of crazy powers, you could just bring them in and say they were from this planet over there, that planet over there. So there were heroes like Ultra Boy, who had very similar powers to Superboy, except he could only use them one at a time. So he could be using flight, but then he wouldn't be able to use his super strength or his invulnerability. Or he'd be super strong, but he wouldn't be able to fly. We had Timberwolf, who was very similar to Wolverine in a way. We had Wildfire, who was basically energy, and he needed this containment suit in order to kind of look human. We had Dawnstar, who was kind of Native American expired, who could fly and had these angel-like wings and was a tracker who could track things across the great void of space. We had Dream Girl, who could predict the future through her dreams. So the list just goes on and on and on. There are so many different Legion of Superhero characters. And so I know it's kind of cheating, but the list is huge, and I think that a lot of people don't really know most of them or any of them for the most part. So that's why I went ahead and put them on the list. All right, number two on my list of top five heroes you've never heard of is Vigilante. First appearance, Teen Titans Annual 2 from 1983. And there have been several different versions of Vigilante over the years. You know, originally there was a version from back in the Golden Age, and it was more of a cowboy version. Appeared first in Action Comics number 42. But I'm really talking about the more modern version. To be specific, the Adrian Chase version, who, as I said, first appeared in 1983, New Teen Titans Annual, by writer Marv Wolfman. And I've talked to Marv about Vigilante and his alter ego, Adrian Chase, many times. One of my favorite characters from when I was growing up. And that title that ran for 50 issues was really the first title that showed me that comics could be mature, they could explore these more adult themes. And they were more than just entertainment. There could be kind of like a morality tale. So Vigilante's origin, he was District Attorney Adrian Chase, and he was really tough on crime. And again, this is, you know, the early 80s when the mob was really starting to lose power in New York. People were finally starting to stand up to them, and that was reflected in the fiction at the time, i.e. Teen Titans. And so Adrian Chase was the character that Marv Wolfman and George Perez came up with to kind of be the crusading district attorney that would take no prisoners, that would take on the mob. And in doing so, Adrian Chase is nearly killed. He's actually clinically dead for 7 minutes, and his wife and two young children are killed. And so he gets recruited by this kind of like supernatural order of beings. They're basically like the spirits of people who have been wrongly killed over the years, so just like Adrian Chase himself for 7 minutes and his family. And they train him to basically be able to heal from wounds that would kill a normal person, and train him to the feat of physical perfection so that he's able to become the Vigilante and be kind of a crusading person against injustice. In a way, he's like the Punisher of the DC universe, you know, Punisher over at Marvel. But unlike Marvel, who kind of, in a way, they celebrate and they promote the Punisher, DC has more of a almost an ambivalent take toward their heroes taking matters into their own hands. It's never quite clear if Adrian Chase is really a hero or a villain. I mean, he's on my heroes list because he's much more of a hero than a villain, even though I don't necessarily agree with all the things that he does. And that's really the tale that Marv Wolfman was trying to tell. You know, he always knew what the end of that journey was for Adrian Chase. And it's not what you would call a happy ending by any means. So, again, as I've said, I've talked many times to Marv about how Adrian's journey could have been different or different choices he could have made. But for Marv, it was always going to end this way. It's the only way that it could have ended, and it's almost a cautionary tale in a way. But again, part of it's nostalgia that he's one of my favorite heroes, but it's just an incredible tale from start to finish of triumph and tragedy and pulling yourself up out of nothing, being dead and being able to rise above that and do what you think is right, and the consequences and the choices you make and how those choices and consequences can grow beyond you and grow beyond your control, so that then you're forced into taking steps and doing things that even you don't agree with, that you may have agreed with at one time, but now you realize the error of your ways, but you're kind of trapped. So it's an incredible tale. You know, it's like I said, it's 50 issues and I think 2 or 3 annuals. And I just think it's so well done. Almost for the majority of the series, it's written by Marv Wolfman. And even when he gave up the writing duties, he was still involved as editor. Alan Moore actually did some issues that are really good as well. And it's just a great series. It has really good art as well. A lot of Keith Pollard art. So for me, it's always going to hold a special place in my heart. And I, again, this may be one that some people have heard of just based on the fact that Adrian Chase has appeared in the Arrow TV show, I believe, recently. But I, from what I know, he doesn't necessarily have much in common with this comic version. This comic version is much more fleshed out and has a different story than the character in the TV show. All right, now on to my number one pick for top 5 heroes you've never heard of. It couldn't be anyone else for those that know me. It's got to be Rom Space Knight. First appeared in Rom Space Knight number 1 from 1979, Marvel Comics. And this is a real interesting one. Parker Brothers came up with the idea of getting into the action figure business rather than just the board game business. So they created this idea of this Space Knight, of this cool looking toy with light up eyes and light up electronic accessories. One of the first electronic toys, you know, it's like 78 this is going on. And the eyes were supposed to be green and the gun was supposed to be green. And, you know, he's going to have arms that moved and elbows joints and legs that moved and knee joints. And it was going to be this pretty cool action figure, right? So they ran a test group. It didn't test well in any of the test groups. So instead of abandoning it altogether, Parker Brothers decided, well, you know, we've already invested so much into it. Let's just go ahead and release it and maybe it'll surprise us. But let's hedge our bets and produce it as cheaply as possible. So instead of going with green LED lights, they went with red because it was cheaper. The action figure, they took away a lot of the articulation because it was cheaper. So it had, you know, straight arms that didn't have any elbow joints. It had straight legs that didn't have any knee joints. And it appeared cheaply made. It just wasn't a very good toy. That being said, I still remember seeing the cartoon on TV commercial on TV when I was a kid and wanting one. Well, I never did get one, but what I did find on the spinner rack at my local convenience store was Rom Space Knight, the comic. And so what had happened was Parker Brothers, before they had decided to make this thing as cheaply as possible, had already entered an agreement with Marvel Comics to create a comic book based on the toy to help promote it. And Marvel gave it to one of their go-to writers at the time, who was very prolific and very fast, by the name of Bill Mantlo. And Mantlo took the idea, and there was very little fleshed out as far as backstory. You know, there's a little blurb on the back. There's little bit of a voiceover from the commercial. And Mantlo, with just this little bit of information, created this incredible tale and this whole backstory and whole world and whole universe from Rom Space Knight, and actually set it into the Marvel Universe. So he created the Dire Wraiths. I think just the name, perhaps, had been on the box or in the commercial. And so what he did was he created them as this kind of antagonistic spacefaring race that had attacked the golden planet of Galador, where Rom and his fellow space knights lived. A very peaceful existence. They weren't warlike at all. Very advanced civilization, but didn't really have a means to defend themselves. Didn't have weapons. They were very much a utopian world. And so when these wraiths, these dire wraiths came from the Dark Nebula to attack Galador and steal its energy, I never was quite sure why they decided to attack Galador. I don't know if it was ever really spelled out, or maybe I'm just forgetting. But what happened was the leaders of Galador said to the citizens, hey, we need a way to fight these dire wraiths. We need some of you to sacrifice your humanity to fight these dire wraiths to become space knights. And so what they did was they took the humanity of these people, their physical bodies, and they merged them in with this through some science, super science, cybernetic technology, and merged these people who sacrificed their humanity basically to be these cold, unfeeling space knights. And by unfeeling, I mean that they couldn't feel warmth. They still had emotion to some extent, but they couldn't feel. It was cold, living metal that they were basically fused with. And so they were actually able to repel the Dire Wraith attack, but being that they were this noble people, that wasn't enough. They couldn't just repel the attack from Galador and allow the Wraiths to go out in space and conquer others. They took it upon themselves to go out throughout the universe and the galaxy and continue to wage war against the Dire Wraiths and protect other unsuspecting worlds. So Rom, the greatest of the Space Knights, the first to volunteer and the first to be merged, was the Space Knight that eventually came to Earth, because Dire Wraiths had infiltrated Earth, and Dire Wraiths were able to disguise themselves and appear as human, and it was only through Galadorian technology that they were able to be revealed. And so Rom came to Earth, the small town of Clairton, West Virginia, and he had many adventures on Earth, met a lot of heroes, X-Men, Captain America, Rick Jones, the Avengers at one point during the final war on Earth to free them of the Dire Wraith threat. So it's the first comic I ever picked up on a monthly basis. So again, I understand that nostalgia plays a big role here, but it's a good story. I mean, Matt Lowe, I mean, the comic certainly way outlasted any popularity of the toy. I mean, the toy did not take off at all. It disappeared very quickly, but the comic went on for 75 issues, 4 annuals, holds a special place in the hearts of a lot of comic readers of a certain age. And Matt Lowe, he created this out of whole cloth nearly, and it was a very compelling narrative. It was good storytelling. It was a lot of fun. Sal Buscema was the artist for the vast majority of the series, and you know, just incredible art. So, you know, I know a lot of people haven't heard of Rom Space Knight, but that classic Marvel series, as I said, it holds a special place for a lot of people. And just recently, a couple of years ago, IDW finally, after years, because that was a thing, right? Like, Rom could never be brought back and it could never be reprinted because Marvel didn't hold the license anymore. But nobody else could acquire the license from Hasbro, because as I said, it was Parker Brothers were the ones that produced the toy originally, and they were bought by Kenner, and then Kenner was eventually bought by Hasbro. So Hasbro actually had the license, but they only had the license to the character of Rom Space Knight and what was on the box and what was said in the commercial. They didn't have access to that incredible backstory that Matt Lowe had created. So Marvel didn't have the license to Rom himself. They just owned everything else, all the other Space Knights and Galador and a lot of what the Dire Wraiths were all about. And Hasbro just had Rom. So for years and years and years, it was just in limbo. A few years ago, IDW managed to acquire the rights and actually put out a new Rom series. And it's been enjoyable. I don't know that it captured the charm of the first series, but that's, I mean, it's still early days. They're still producing Rom and the Micronauts. They've got a Rom and Micronauts title currently coming out. There's a special coming out next month in March called Rom Tales of the Soul Star Order. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But the classic Rom, the Marvel Rom, You know, we'll never see the like of him again, unfortunately, but he'll always hold a special place in my heart. Number one top five hero you've never heard of. I very much encourage you to go seek out issues of the ROM Space Knight series. They're not very expensive. I think the first issue you can probably find for around $25 in pretty good condition. But if you're patient, you can probably find it for even less than that. As I said, unfortunately, they're not really reprinted, but most issues you can probably find for a dollar, honestly. And then real quick, I just have two honorable mentions. Again, these may be heroes that some of you have heard of. One of them for sure, just based on appearance in a couple movies. But the first one I'll mention is Martian Manhunter, first appeared in Detective Comics number 225 in 1955. And it's interesting, he was kind of created to be a stand-in for Superman in the Justice League. He had very similar powers to Superman, but yet was from Mars and had green skin and vulnerability to fire rather than kryptonite. And at one point, DC was actually worried about overexposing their heroes, Batman and Superman specifically. So they created Martian Manhunter as kind of a stand-in for Superman in the JLA, and Green Arrow was the stand-in for Batman to not overexpose them. But much like Plastic Man, Martian Manhunter kind of disappeared in the late 60s and wasn't really seen much of again until around 1984 when they brought him back. At that time, the Justice League was missing a lot of the big seven. You know, there was no Superman, no Batman, no Green Lantern, no Wonder Woman, no Aquaman, no Flash. And so they brought in Martian Manhunter once again. And he did an admirable job. He was an interesting character to me. And then after the Crisis on Infinite Earths, when Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis rebooted the Justice League with the Justice League International title, often referred to as the Bwahaha League, because they entered a lot of humor into the series. Martian Manhunter was a very critical part of that league. And ever since then, he's been around. He hasn't really disappeared. He's been a part of the DC universe for the most part. He has appeared in a lot of animated series, so I have a feeling that may be why he's a little more well known and ended up on my honorable mention. I mean, him and Moon Knight were right there. I couldn't decide between the two, and ultimately I went with Moon Knight for my number five, and Martian Manhunter got kicked down to the honorable mention list. And the other one I want to mention is Ghost Rider, specifically the Johnny Blaze version that appeared first in Marvel Spotlight number 5, 1972. And I know a lot of you probably are saying, Ghost Rider, how could you name Ghost Rider? Well, because if it wasn't for the Nicolas Cage movies, which weren't very good, let's be honest, I don't think very many people at all would know who Ghost Rider is. And I feel like because of the poor quality of those movies, he got a bad rap. But back in, you know, all through the 80s, you know, ever since he appeared in 72, all the way up through his title ending, I want to say, well, it ended with 81. So that's about 8 years. So right around 81, 82, his title ended. All through that time, he just really wasn't that well known, and certainly not through the 80s and into the 90s. He got a new lease on life in the 90s with a new version. But there was a good 10 years there where not many people knew who he was. And then even when he got the relaunch in the 90s, people outside of comics certainly hadn't heard of him. But he was always such an iconic figure to me growing up, just this flaming skull on a motorcycle, and it just looks super, super cool. And like I said, I feel like if it wasn't for those bad Nicolas Cage movies, I don't think anybody would necessarily know who Ghost Rider was. So that's the reason I went ahead and put him on my honorable mention. And honestly, I kind of wish those Nicolas Cage, Johnny Blaze, Ghost Rider movies didn't exist, so fewer people would know who he is, so we could bring out a good Ghost Rider movie and people could be introduced to him again. I doubt Marvel actually has the rights back to that character. Marvel didn't make those movies. I think they were made by Sony. But it was, you know, unlike Spider-Man, where Sony kept rebooting the series, just to keep making the movies to retain the rights. The Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movies are so bad that Sony didn't even care. They didn't even care to keep the rights. They were like, whatever, we're not making any more Ghost Rider movies. We'll let the rights revert back to Marvel. And it'd be nice to see Marvel actually pick it up and make a good Ghost Rider movie, because he's always been one of my favorites. Probably Rom, Ghost Rider, and Vigilante would be my like three favorite heroes growing up. And Moon Knight probably number four, followed by the Legion of Superheroes as a whole. So that'll give you kind of an idea of where I'm coming from with that. So I want to thank you all for listening. Please, please, please reach out to me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let me know your list, your top five heroes that maybe I've never heard of, or you think most people out there haven't heard of. Who makes your list? Who do you think's underrated or the general public doesn't know about? I'm very curious to see who I may have missed. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening. Be sure you go to thecomicsourceblog.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Also, lrmonline.com now has all our episodes over there as well. At least every episode from before the first of this year. I have to migrate over all of the more recent episodes, which will be happening later this week. Also, twitter.com/thecomicsource is where you can find us on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date with us on those social platforms and find out when we're covering conventions and where we'll be at next, and also to find out when any new episodes drop. Also, go to lrmonline.com for all other pop culture, movie, TV, video game news, all that kind of great stuff. So, as I said, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.